You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
All right. Let's see if I remember how to talk about a win. The Kings victorious against the Dallas Mavericks last night, 121-107, a victory behind their defense. Sacramento avoids their first 10-game losing streak since 1998. We'll talk about that win, plus why it really doesn't change what I talked about on Friday's Locked On Kings podcast last week, where I still believe the Kings should shut it down, try and salvage this season to try and get the best draft odds possible. It's not my normal take, but I'm sticking with it. And I'm declaring war on big markets. I'm not sure if you've been following what Zion Williamson said about playing in New York, but it has the national media and NBA fans in an uproar. I'll touch on that at the end of today's Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento Sports Radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and multimedia journalist. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was fully expecting to talk about a Kings loss here today. I was fully expecting Sacramento to go into Dallas and the game to be maybe a little bit more competitive than what it was. Now, it's nice for the Kings to be on the positive end of what was an overall not super competitive game. Now, the Dallas Mavericks did make a comeback. The Kings led by 21 points at one point in this game. Dallas did make a comeback, made it interesting towards the end, but Sacramento was really in control from start to finish. But I really did not expect this. I did not expect talking about a victory today. That being said, I'm happy to talk about a victory today. Kings victorious 121-107 in Dallas. Like I said in the introduction, if Sacramento had lost last night, it would have been their first 10-game losing streak since 1998. I was 4 years old the last time the Kings went on a 10-game losing streak. Where were you at in 1998? When the Kings last went on a 10-game losing streak? Let me know. Send it to me at Matt George Radio on Twitter. Email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. It's been a long time since the Kings have lost 10 in a row, but they've lost 9 in a row twice this season. Thankfully, they avoid that double digit. Of course, anytime the Kings and Mavericks play, there's always going to be the Luka Doncic angle brought up. In fact, as you know as a Kings fan, the Luka Doncic angle is brought up for basically any reason at all. But when the Kings play Luka, there's always a little extra incentive for De'Aaron Fox and company to try hard, knowing that they missed on Luka Doncic in the 2018 draft. And I'm sure there's extra incentive for Luka Doncic to show up himself, as the Kings were one of the teams that passed on him. And I imagine Luka thought that Sacramento was going to be his landing destination, at least for a specific period of time. But Luka Doncic, in his career, actually has struggled pretty significantly against the Sacramento Kings. After last night's loss, Luka is now 3-5 in 8 meetings against the Kings in his career. Now, what does that mean? Ultimately, nothing. It's fun for me to say. It makes us feel a little bit better here in Sacramento, even though we all know missing on Luka was a massive mistake that could be setting this franchise back for years. We don't know. But at least it feels good to know that Luka has not dominated the Sacramento Kings. In fact, I went back and I looked at the top picks from the 2018 draft and the teams that they play on, and I was very surprised to see the Kings having solid, strong records in head-to-head matchups against those players. Trae Young had the worst record against the Sacramento Kings in his career. Luka Doncic was second worst. And both DeAndre Ayton and Jaren Jackson Jr. were hovering around 500. Now, that really doesn't have anything to do with Marvin Bagley, who the Kings, of course, selected at number 2 overall in 2018. But it makes the pill a tiny bit easier to swallow, right? Regardless, I would not have predicted that Luka Doncic would be just 3-5 in his first 8 games of his career against Sacramento. Now, he will have multiple opportunities to improve that record over what is going to be a very successful, potentially even Hall of Fame career. But at least as of right now, on Monday, April 19th, we have that. We also have Harrison Barnes, who was really, really good in this game. And De'Aaron Fox is going to be the main king talked about with his 30-point performance and how well he played, how clutch he was in the fourth quarter. But Harrison Barnes was the reason why the Kings built and sustained their lead, as well as performances off the bench. But I'll get to that. Harrison Barnes was really, really good in this game, especially in the first half. When the Kings needed a bucket to prevent the Dallas Mavericks from making up any ground, or when the Kings just wanted to build upon their lead, create more separation, Harrison Barnes was the guy, hitting outside shots, attacking the basket. He finished with 24 points, shot 9 of 14 from the field, and a very efficient 5 of 8 from three-point range. And it's a necessary reminder, sorry Dallas Mavericks fans, but the Mavericks traded Harrison Barnes away to Sacramento, and remember what they got in return? Justin Jackson, who is no longer on a team right now. I think he was in Oklahoma City and they cut him, if I'm not mistaken. And Zach Randolph, who of course has had a very successful NBA career, but I don't believe ever played a game for Dallas. I think the Mavericks made that move because they didn't plan on paying Harrison Barnes what it would have taken to re-sign him, and they wanted to try and get something in return. But either way, watching what Harrison Barnes did to them last night, knowing that they got nothing as of today in return for that, also made the win extra sweet. But I talked about the performances off the bench for the Sacramento Kings. Harrison Barnes, great in the first half, but so was Terrence Davis. He finished with 23 points. 15 of those 23 came in the first half. He shot 9 of 12 from the field. He was aggressive attacking the basket, was hitting from the outside. And I saw someone talking about him on Twitter, how feast or famine he has been so far for the Kings this season. I tend to agree with that. Davis is one of those microwave type players that if he's hot and having a good night, he can really explode and put up some points off the bench in a hurry. But also, if the shot's not falling, he can somewhat disappear. We've seen that so far. And DeLon Wright can kind of be inserted into that category, but he was solid with 13 points last night. Does more than just shoot. Obviously, can run an offense coming off the bench. I like the amount of minutes that we saw DeLon Wright, De'Aaron Fox, and Tyrese Haliburton playing together. We also saw Terrence Davis and DeLon Wright on the floor a lot during the fourth quarter, even when the Dallas Mavericks were making their run. And I thought it was pretty telling. Now, it's just one game, so it's a small sample size. But I thought it was pretty telling that those guys were on the floor during the fourth quarter in a close game, and Buddy Hield was not. Buddy had a terrible game last night. Just 2 points in 23 minutes. Only took 5 shots. Went 0 of 4 from three-point range. 1 of 5 from the field overall. Just not a good performance from Buddy Hield. But the Kings proved, hey, they can win without him. Again, small sample size. Very small sample size. I'm not going to be the kind of arrogant fool who has argued against starting Buddy Hield for the majority of this season and say, hey, see, this one game proves my point. It's not enough, but it's telling. There was something going on off the floor during this game, too, that I definitely want to talk about, and I'm not sure if you noticed it. It was very obvious on the TV broadcast. In fact, Doug Christie and Kyle Draper, I think, both referenced it at one point. During the third quarter, when the Sacramento Kings had a 17-point lead at halftime and Dallas was trying to make their run, they outscored the Kings 27-20 in that third quarter, and they were trying to start it on the defensive end. The Kings at that time were attacking the basket right next to Dallas's bench. And if you noticed, the entire bench, including at least half of the assistant coaching staff, was up, was active, was yelling, was clapping, celebrating defensive stops, bringing an intensity that had an effect on the 5 Dallas Mavericks players on the floor. And they carried out that intensity throughout the majority of the third quarter and even a large portion of the fourth until De'Aaron Fox and the Kings put this game away. I loved to see that from Dallas. They knew the team needed a spark. They knew that this team was not playing at their full potential, but still had a chance to come back against the Sacramento Kings team, who has blown plenty of leads already this season. They knew that game was still up for grabs, and they had plenty of time to get back into it if they changed the momentum, brought some intensity, and brought physicality against a team like Sacramento, who struggles against physical opponents. And it was working. And then on the other side of the floor, you look at the Kings bench Everybody sitting down, still some celebrations when the Kings would hit a shot or some big moments, but everybody kind of relaxed, laid back. No intensity being brought by anyone, coaches, players, training staff, nobody, to try and match or even silence the energy and momentum that the Dallas bench was creating for the team. And it's not just in this game. I've noticed that in a lot of games this season, that other benches will be active, be involved, and Sacramento's is quiet. Might as well be a public library over there. I wish we would see a more engaged Sacramento Kings bench during the good times and the bad. Not just when Chimezie Metu has a great dunk like he had last night. Not just when De'Aaron Fox goes superstar mode in the fourth quarter. How about throughout the entire game? How about during a slow start or after a slow start? How about starting a second half during the third quarter that has plagued the Kings over the last couple of seasons? How about then? Create your own energy, create your own intensity, especially during a season where if you're playing in front of fans, there's only a few thousand of them. I liked that from Dallas. It almost worked. And we need to see that more from Sacramento's bench. But when we got to the fourth quarter, we got a really fun battle between De'Aaron Fox and Luka Doncic. Luka scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. He really just tried to take the game over. Kristaps Porzingis was horrible in this game and even got punked by Mo Harkless, which was awesome to watch. De'Aaron Fox didn't score nearly as many points as Luka, but he shot 67% in the fourth quarter, including three straight made buckets, a couple of them just pull-up mid-range jumpers, that prevented the Mavericks from getting within 5 points. The Mavericks got the lead down to 6 a couple of times during that fourth quarter, but Fox and the Kings wouldn't let him any closer and ended up slamming the door shut for the 121-107 victory. Last night was fun. It was necessary. It was needed. And I know some fans took to social media to express frustration in the Kings not tanking and winning a game and how that could affect their lottery odds. I'll update you on both their lottery position right now and their position in the quote-unquote race for the play-in tournament. That's coming up for you here in just a second. Right now, though, I want to let you know that this Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by a handful of amazing sponsors, the first being Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get your qualified shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy, with tools like Indeed Instant Match giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed skill tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests or add your own, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Locked On Kings is also brought to you, of course, by our friends at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. These protein bars are delicious. Look, I am a picky eater, a very picky eater. Just ask my wife. And especially when it comes to protein-based products, I have not really found any before Built Bar that I like. I tasted more protein powder and the protein stuff in it than I tasted the actual flavor of the bar or the item itself. Not with Built Bar. I don't have that problem. They have delicious flavors, 18 flavors to be exact. My favorite is mint brownie, and all I taste is mint brownie. It's basically mint chip ice cream, which I adore. They also have flavors like lemon almond cheesecake, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, just to name a few. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet, and if you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15, all one word, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Can we just enjoy a Kings win without immediately opening the standings and dissecting where the Kings are in the play-in race and their draft lottery odds? No, we cannot, because this is the Locked On Kings podcast and I need the content. So let's look at both sides of things. You know, after my conversations really last week, over the last couple of weeks with the Kings on this 9-game losing streak, I've punted the idea of the Kings making the play-in tournament. It's still mathematically possible. I've punted it. I have zero faith in this team's ability to get there, although watch this now win over the Dallas Mavericks spark another winning streak for the Sacramento Kings. I'm not predicting that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all based off of how this season has gone. But as of right now, even though the Kings are still mathematically in it, it's going to be a massive uphill battle. We're talking them winning over probably 60% of their remaining games if they want a chance, and that might not even be enough. The Kings are still 5 games back of the 10th spot. And then if you're looking at the draft lottery odds, I know, like I said, fans were probably frustrated last night with the Kings beating the Dallas Mavericks because a loss would have put them closer to that 6th or even 5th pick. As of right now, they sit in sole ownership of the 7th pick. They're 2.5 games back of 6th and 3 games back of 5th. I believe they have around, if they stick at that 7th spot, they have about a 34% chance to move into the top 4. So still the likelihood of that 7th spot, that is where they are going to end up picking. Remember, the Kings were actually, they lost the coin flip with the Chicago Bulls to drop them down to 8th instead of grabbing the 7th spot. And then it was when they moved up from 8 to number 2 that they picked Marvin Bagley in 2018. So a little context there. But regardless of which race you're paying attention to, maybe you're paying attention to both. Maybe you just want to watch the Kings play basketball, win games, lose games, just try and enjoy the remainder of the season before we go into what's expected to be a very intense and interesting offseason for Monty McNair and company. If that's you, I appreciate you. But I will say, truthfully, nothing for me has changed from what I talked about on Friday's Locked On Kings podcast. Now, it's a tiny bit outdated because we've obviously had the weekend, but the Kings, in my opinion, should be doing everything that they can to make the right moves for the future while also trying to put themselves in a solid draft position. And you know I hate the word tanking. I talked about this a lot on Friday. I hate tanking, but the philosophy of tanking, the idea, the reward from tanking is probably the best case scenario for the Sacramento Kings for the remainder of this season. I'll kind of reiterate my main point, which was the Kings made a decision at this trade deadline to go for the play-in push. That was the choice they made. That was the gamble. And to me, it's already clear that that gamble has failed. It hasn't paid off. The Kings are not going to make the play-in tournament in my mind. Their percentage chance is extremely low. I'd put it in the single digits to be completely honest with you. So instead of just trying still to beat the odds over these final 14, 15 or so games that the Kings have left, why not try and use that time to put yourself in a good draft position while also helping your decisions for this offseason? And what I mean by that is giving a lot of playing time to Fox and Tyrese Halliburton together. Now, Fox doesn't have to play 35, 40 minutes a night. Obviously, the more minutes Fox plays, the better chance the Kings have of winning. But get Buddy Hield out of the starting lineup and make sure Tyrese Halliburton is there, as we know that's going to be his spot. How about more minutes for Terrence Davis and DeLon Wright to get an idea of if those guys are going to come back next season? I think it's pretty safe to say that DeLon Wright will come back as that primary ball handler off the bench, but what about Terrence Davis as that shooter, that scorer off the bench that we saw last night he potentially can be every once in a while? So get a good idea of if you really want to bring Terrence Davis back and keep him around long term. Then look at some of your young guys. Like this roster has far too many pieces on it that are just fringe talented players that we don't know what their futures are going to be. Some of them are rookies, which is fine. Like, you don't necessarily have to make a final decision on Robert Woodard and Jamias Ramsey, both second round picks who you knew were going to be a project. But guys like Justin James, is it worth it? Are you going to keep him around? Guys like Kyle Guy, who's on a two-way contract, has played well in the time that he has gotten playing time this season. Do you want to keep him around? Chris Silva, Chimezie Metu, these are guys that you can figure out what you want to do with them, whether or not you're going to consider bringing them in for training camp invites for next season. And you can use playing time today to kill two birds with one stone. It's making sure you get an idea of what you want to do with those pieces in the future while also putting yourself in the best position, yes, to lose games, which helps you secure better draft lottery odds. To me, there's two clear moves that the Kings can make here that nobody would really blame. shutting down Rashawn Holmes and shutting down Marvin Bagley. Now, the shutdown of Marvin Bagley may already be happening. If he's going to return, we've already known it would only be for a handful of games at the very tail end of the season. To me, there's no point in doing that. I could argue that playing Marvin Bagley might actually help the Kings lose more games based off of how parts of this season have gone, but in my mind, there's no reason really to rush him back and bring him back, and I don't think he really wants to play or come back. I'm reading into that with my own emotion. I don't have anybody on the inside telling me Marvin Bagley doesn't want to play. We do know that Marvin and the Kings are looking most likely to separate during this offseason. As for Rashawn Holmes, though, this is where it gets tricky, because we know Rashawn is a competitor. We know he wants to play. We know he's trying to get paid this offseason. And the last thing you want to do when going into negotiations, where I think it's pretty clear that the Kings want to bring Rashawn Holmes back, if you piss the guy off by shutting him down when he wants to play, that could potentially sabotage your negotiations. So if Rashawn is available and he really, really, really wants to play and would not be happy with just being shut down for the remainder of the season, then maybe you play him no matter what at the risk of winning some more games. But if Rashawn is cool with being shut down for the remainder of the season, I think that is the route to go. And maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe, hey, Rashawn, there's a few more games that we'll allow you to play in, but if we're going to allow you to play in these, let's try and get an idea of what you're looking for. Let's start our negotiations a little bit early here and get an idea of what you want and try and get you as close to an agreement as we can have without tampering, right? I also would love to see more minutes for Jamezi Metu overall than Hassan Whiteside. As we know, Whiteside is not coming back next season, or at least I feel pretty confident in saying that. That's what I think the Kings should do for the remainder of this season, even after wins like last night versus Dallas. And hey, if the Kings decide to go that route and all of a sudden start winning games because players are playing out of their mind, if that's what happens, then that's what happens. But I think those are the best decisions that the Kings can make at this point. I understand Luke Walton maybe not wanting to make those decisions because he's essentially coaching for his job right now. But if I were working in the front office, if I was in Monty McNair's position, that to me would be the best route for my franchise going forward. The Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline, the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, has you covered for NBA action, NHL action, MLB during football season, the NFL, European soccer, local soccer. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to play your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping up the Locked On Kings podcast with a little outside conversation. I'm not sure if you heard this audio. I'm going to play it for you. This is Zion Williamson, of course, star number one overall pick from the 2019 draft, the star for the New Orleans Pelicans. This is him talking about playing in New York, and this audio has picked up a lot of steam, and it's easy to understand why.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
Now, I know my guy Jake Madison, the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, he's going to have comments on this. These comments from Zion naturally immediately exciting New York Knicks fans, Brooklyn Nets fans, the idea that Zion could eventually be leaving small market New Orleans and heading to massive market New York. I can imagine the stars in the eyes and smiles on the faces of Knicks and Nets fans hearing this from Zion. This has nothing to do with the Kings at all, and I have no loyalty to New Orleans. But damn it, I will not stand by quietly and watch another small market team be robbed and bullied by big markets. You know what? Cue some music or something. Let me stand up here. I call upon supporters of the small markets of the NBA to come together to create the SMA, Small Market Alliance, to to declare war upon the mega markets of the league and end their unfair tyranny. We shall be the Robin Hoods of the NBA, standing up to the LAs and the New Yorks, celebrating the successes for all small markets as one victory, honoring heroes like Giannis Antetokounmpo for re-signing in Milwaukee and not giving in to the temptations from Golden State, praising Damian Lillard for having Portland's back, refusing to jump ship for the next mega market super team. We must rally around Utah, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Charlotte, and the other small market playoff teams fighting the good fight to rid us of a predictable NBA Finals where TV ratings are more important than the game of basketball itself. We must keep Zion in New Orleans. Or, here's a better idea, have all the small markets trade their best players to Sacramento and we will form a small market empire where the Kings will reign over the juggernauts of the league and finally get their revenge against the spoiled and entitled fans of the mega market NBA.
Finally, Sac will have their triumph and all who mock and jeer shall bow down and...
Oh, what just happened? Or not. We could just keep the stars in the small markets that drafted them and shun the creation of super teams like the Nets. That works too. Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah, go small markets, down with mega markets. That was my overall point there. I hope Zion stays in New Orleans. I don't want to see him in New York. Yeah. Anyway, that'll do it for today's Locked On Kings podcast. You can respond to anything that we talked about on today's show. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Kings beating the Mavs, where you're at in terms of the push for the play-in tournament, or whether or not you want the Kings to tank for a better draft pick. Your thoughts on De'Aaron Fox versus Luka Doncic. Hey, maybe even your thoughts on Zion and other stars leaving small markets for mega markets. Let me know at Matt George Radio on Twitter. You can tweet me publicly or DM me privately there, or feel free to email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. The Kings are preparing to have fans back inside the Golden 1 Center for tomorrow night's game against the Timberwolves and the rest of the home games this season. I'm hoping to have a guest from the Kings to talk about what that's going to look like, the excitement and build up for that on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast, so please tune into that. And of course, stay safe, stay healthy, and I will talk to you next time. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.